Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Dr. Van Beek.
Dr. Van Beek?
Middle of a work day. I'm Dr. Van Beek.
Yeah. Welcome to the midday edition of our podcast, folks.
So, go ahead.
No, you go.
They will notice a difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're much fresher.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if there's...
I don't understand bushy-tailed, but, you know.
yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Like, really?
Carry on, yeah. It might have to do with foxes.
Squirrels, a fox, members of the weasel family, possibly.
Possibly, yes. Yeah. Huh. So today, Steve, we're doing this, a prophet, right?
Yes.
And so our audience would probably like to know that there are many prophets in the Bible. And there were major prophets, and there were minor prophets, and there were prophets that didn't write anything at all.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
And the difference between the major prophets and the minor prophets is only that the major prophets wrote longer books. Now Isaiah was he was actually of some form of royalty. So, but the rest were just guys. Yeah. And that didn't save him from being sawn in half with a wooden saw. So
no,
I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that said.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a local. Did they use a local or did they put him under? I don't know.
Pretty much sure he was alive for the whole thing.
I think for half of it. So the prophet that we're doing today is, and it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that God loves his prophets.
Yeah.
And they generally died horrible deaths.
Yeah.
Which fits the book of Revelation, which is our main thing.
Yeah.
But the prophet we're doing today is not a writing prophet. He is he was just a prophet mentioned in Kings and Chronicles, and we're going to do the story from Kings.
Yeah.
And it's about Ahab and Jehoshaphat and a war that they go into about 850 BC, I would say.
Yeah.
So that's a little over 100 years before the Assyrian captivity.
Okay.
So Ahab is the king of Israel.
Right.
And Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And at this period of time, they call it the divided kingdom period. Mm-hmm. After Solomon's son, Rehoboam, divided the kingdom.
Right.
They were called Israel and Judah until about the Assyrian captivity in 732.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way it all works. And this is a prophet that it's a great story, Steve. So so maybe read the first part, and then we'll get that, which we'll do little, but it'll tell us some things.
Okay. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, your people as your people, or my people as your people, my horses as your horses."
Okay, so Jehoshaphat, and you know, it's a funny thing, because God loved Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat loved God, and... Mm-hmm. When you read this story, he's dumb as a post, but but that's okay. So Israel, so they're the northern kingdom, right?
Right.
And they're going to fight Syria. Now, this is the same Syria that was accused of spraying sarin gas on their people just a few years ago.
Right.
And Damascus is actually still Damascus in Syria. It's probably the longest city that maintained the same name that I know of.
Hmm.
It's always been Damascus, and it's always been part of Syria. So that's kind of intriguing. So they're going to battle. Jehoshaphat goes and visits the other king and says, "Yeah, my stuff is your stuff." And then now we're in verse 5.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you for help in pronouncing one thing here later on, but bear with
me. Okay, Jehoshaphat.
Later I'll say some words to Larry about what he just said. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give you into the hand, or Lord will give it into the hand of the king."
But so we'll stop there. So first he brings 400 prophets. Ahab has 400 prophets.
Yep.
And they all go, yeah, you're going to do fabulous. You're just going to do fabulous.
It's great. Keep going.
It's going to be great. And then Jehoshaphat responds in verse 7.
Yeah. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet what one man whom we may inquire. Is it Micaiah?
Micaiah.
Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies, which is fantastic, isn't it? For he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. But the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, quickly bring Micaiah, I just got it in my head differently, so that's why. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor, at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenanah.
Oh, that sounds like Shananah.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. Made for himself horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall punish the Syrians until they are destroyed. Oh, fantastic. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king.
So he says to him, he says, so these 400 prophets prophesy. Micaiah says, don't you have another prophet of the Lord? So somehow he knew that these guys were all what we would call false prophets.
Right.
They weren't real prophets of the Lord. He didn't say a prophet from Judah or anything like that. He just said, you know, I want an actual prophet of the Lord. And then they go on and keep telling you what those 400 prophets were doing, right? and how one of them said, look, like you're going to destroy them. You're going to destroy them like with these horns of iron. That's how you're going to destroy them. And go up and be in triumph, my king.
Yeah.
They were pretty safe because if he went up in triumph, he would come back and say, hey, that was a good prophecy. You did all right. If he didn't, he's dead, and they're probably okay anyway.
That's called hedging your bets at that point in time.
But anyway, because of what Jehoshaphat asked, they go and they find this guy named Micaiah. And Micaiah is a true prophet of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, picking up at verse 13 now. And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. And when he had come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak nothing to me, speak nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all of Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord
should we just let's just stop for a second. Yeah. You're going to pick it up in verse 19.
Yeah,
but it's this has got to be my favorite story in Scripture.
Yeah,
I just love this. So he says, well, bring Micaiah in. Micaiah comes in. He says, you know what's going to happen to me? He says, oh, go up and triumph, my king. The Lord will give them into your hand. And it's funny because he just looks at him and says, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me the truth? Like, just tell me the truth. And then he goes, well, okay. I saw Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep with no shepherd. And they have no master. Let each return to his own home in peace. And then the king says, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, I told you the guy never prophesies anything good to me.
And yet he says to him, tell me the truth. I tell you the truth. Yeah, but I don't want to hear that.
I hate this guy. I hate this guy.
I've always hated this guy.
Yeah. Oh. And then verse 19, he goes on with the prophecy.
And Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the whole and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who enticed Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing and another said another. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you.
Isn't that actually amazing?
Yeah.
So Micaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and he said, who's going to go up and entice Ahab? A spirit comes to him and says, I will.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if this has to be an evil spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thought. It's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I don't know that. I don't know, because I don't know if his angels could do this kind of a thing.
Hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you know how it said Satan goes before God every day.
Right.
So it could be, but it's just a bizarre story, isn't it? It's kind of tough to figure out what's going on. What you do know is that the spirit goes to God and says, I'll entice him. And God says, yeah, go ahead. You feel free to go and entice him. Right? And then, I'll put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. But all the prophets have spoken to him. He knows they're wrong. And he knows that Micaiah is telling him the truth. And he still won't listen. Okay, verse 24.
Yeah, which is fantastic what we're about to read right here.
Oh, yes.
And then Zedekiah, the son of Shenanah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, how did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hear all you peoples.
Isn't that wild, eh?
Yeah.
So the other guy punches him in the face and says, what makes you think you're a better prophet than I am? Do you remember that happened to Paul? Mm. And they struck him in the face and said, you can't speak to the chief priest
that way. Yeah.
And he said, oh, I didn't know he was the chief priest.
Yeah.
Which probably is an insult as well. I couldn't tell that this dork was the actual chief priest.
A little piece of New Testament humor we didn't get there, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so Micaiah, and then it gets really, really serious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The guy says, you know, how do you know that the Spirit is speaking to you from you and not me? And he says, oh, you'll remember that when you're hiding in the inner chamber for your life.
Yeah.
And so you know that he's sitting in the inner chamber, hiding for his life. And he says, give him bread and water until I return in peace. And then he says, there's not a chance that's going to happen, or God hasn't spoken through me. The stuff that God put upon his prophets.
Yeah.
Like Micaiah says a lot of stuff tongue in cheek here.
Right.
But when it comes right down to the message from God, he is straight up and dead on.
Yeah. And unwavering, right? Unwavering. Like, I'm not gonna couch it. I'm not gonna
Yeah. I actually watched a movie. It was kind of a dumb movie. The first one what was it called again? The two movies about God where Morgan Freeman is God.
Oh, Bruce Almighty and
Evan Almighty. Evan so Almighty. I was watching Evan Almighty, and the scene, like, it's a kind of a stupid movie, of course, but the scene that I love is he's standing in the courtroom, his suit has been blown off again, he's got the big beard comes back and all that, mm-hmm. And the guy says something to the effect of, are you telling me you heard from God, or that you speak to God? And he looks up and he's embarrassed, and he doesn't want to say it because he's a politician, he has to go, yeah, I heard from God.
Hmm.
And that's the prophet, right? I don't necessarily want to do this kind of stuff.
Right.
But God's speaking to me and I have to do it. And in our circles, there's a thing called the gift of a prophecy, but there's also, we also believe in prophets, that prophets are real.
Yeah.
And a real prophet has to speak God's word. Mm-hmm. He can't fudge it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what this guy, when it comes right down to it, he can't fudge it. He has to tell him what God said.
Yeah.
Even though he's going to be thrown in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And most likely die there. Who knows, right?
Yeah. And he doesn't, but he could have.
Yeah.
He could have, yeah. So the next thing is Ahab in battle, 29.
So picking up at verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Therefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died. And the blood of the wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. And about sunset, a cry went through the army, every man to his city, every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria. They buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. And the prostitutes washed themselves in it, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house that he built, and all the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. And this is where we say, you know, he must have said it to Jehoshaphat in a way that doesn't come out as stupid as it sounds in scripture. You know, I'm just going to dress like a regular guy. You wear all the splendor.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't you right away go, I don't think this is the best idea. But he does, the dummy. The guy, he comes wearing his kingly robes. And right away, the armies chase him, and he cries out in fear and runs away. Not too bad, eh?
Yeah.
Not too bad. It sounds like something from Braveheart.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then as they're chasing him, they realize who it is. So God saves him, actually. It doesn't say that, but, you know, it's only by the grace of God that they didn't kill him.
Right.
And why didn't they kill him anyway? I don't know.
Right.
But when they realized it wasn't the king of Israel, they turned back. And what I really love here is that it's just a random arrow. The guy shot it, not even paying attention where he was shooting it.
Right.
And it pierces him right between his what?
It's between, the breastplate and the, where is it again?
Yep.
The scale armor and the breastplate.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just that little link where your arm is, right? Right by your breastplate where it's loose. And the arrow pierced right through there. Otherwise, he would have been okay. But it pierced right through. And he just stayed propped against his chariot for the rest of the day, slowly dying, and then died that night, that evening. And when he died, then they said, for some reason, I don't know what it is with these battles, but whenever the leader dies, everybody just runs home. I don't know why they don't have a second in charge to keep the thing going.
You know? We're out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody runs home. Of course, he's paying them too, so maybe there's no money in it for them anymore. And they all leave, and he died. And then they said, of course, in the usual way, the dogs licked up his blood. That's a common expression, remember? Mm. Jezebel, actually, the dogs licked up her blood when they threw her off the wall.
That's right, yeah.
It was his wife, I think.
She was his wife. It was prophesied that's how she would die, and then that's what would happen to her.
You know what's the weirdest thing? Whenever I say Jezebel, I always think of Cher. I don't know what it is about Cher that reminds me of Jezebel, but... Hmm. But I guess I shouldn't have said that. But
No, I have no idea either. But that, okay, interesting, yeah.
I guess tall and slim and scantily dressed. That's what I think about. Well, Well, that's not what, that doesn't sound good at all.
Hang on a second. Take two.
And I have no idea why the prostitutes are washing themselves in his blood. I should have looked that up in a commentary to find out what the significance of that is, but I didn't. So I'm just going to say I'm not sure why anybody would do that. Yeah. And then, of course, then he mentions a book called the Book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, which we no longer have. There are a few books mentioned in the Bible that no longer exist, right. Which would be fabulous if we had them, but we don't.
Yeah.
And that is the story of one of God's prophets. Now, I just said that he was released, and I still think he was. And it must say so a little further down somewhere about Micaiah. But anyway, the bigger thing is you know, he starts off tongue-in-cheek. He has to speak the word of God, and he does. And they put him in jail, and everything that he says comes true. Which, remember, for your Old Testament prophets is always critical, isn't it?
Yeah.
That that when you speak for the Lord, that what you say comes true.
Yeah, yeah.
In the New Testament, actually, the prophets, whenever they spoke, it came true as well.
Mm.
And this is straight up seeing the future.
Yeah.
That he did. So it's just a great story. And he is my favorite prophet.
Yeah, it is a great story, Larry, because I love how you emphasize the fact that Micaiah's like, yeah, everything's great, and he's like, stop lying to me, and yet he knows he's telling him the truth, and he still goes anyway. Like you said, that's such a great story.
It's just bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre, but I guess, you know, you get that far away from God, and and that's pretty much what you do, eh?
Yeah.
So, oh, you're having a look to see what's happening.
I was going to have a look, and I don't see anything quick that we can find on Micaiah.
No, not fast enough. So
yeah. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us this
time. Oh, here it is. Ahab ordered Micah imprisoned until he returned from the battle unharmed in 22, verse 27. Yeah. So just a little further on, it mentions him returning.
Right. Right.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
That's what you and I read. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just never mentions him ever again.
No. I don't know why I thought he survived. I think because I don't think they'd kill him after everything he said came true. That would freak them out of their minds.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us on this. We just wanted to share kind of just a fun, well, not very fun, but what I'm saying is just a great story about how God spoke through someone who was so convicted by the word he was given that he just had to say it. He could not prophesy because God told him to.
So. It's an intriguing thing because even Balaam, as bad as he was, could not prophesy, could not pronounce a curse against Israel. He had to bless them because he was God's man.
Yeah.
So and then he screws up anyway.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Which we all do, right? But it's amazing when you read someone doing it. It's easier to do than to read about after.
Yeah, so true. So true. Oh, right on. Well, we'll be back with you in a week's time with another edition of the Apocalypse Podcast.